Hour number three, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, the game on this Thursday. We're live at the Omni Nashville Hotel at Bar Lines. Having a great time. Always enjoy our time here at Bar Lines. Next week, we'll be here on Wednesday because we'll be at Tennessee Brew Works on Thursday. So.
We're everywhere, man.
Yeah, we're at Circa Kentucky on Monday, Studio Tuesday, here Wednesday, Tennessee Brew Works Thursday, and maybe somewhere Friday.
Maybe somewhere Friday, man.
And then the next week, we'll be in a warmer place.
More on that on Monday.
Yes. So we will we'll have Greg Wyshynski join us here in just a few minutes. Brandon just sent you that number, so we'll be talking to Greg about the NHL and everything going on with the Predators. And he, of course, is brought to you by Old National Bank. Get old. Excited to have them back on board with him. Predators will be in action tonight in Philadelphia. It's a one-game road trip as they take on the Flyers. Adam Vingan will have pregame for you at 5 o'clock. Puck drop with Max Herz and Hal Gill just after 6. Let's say hello now to Greg Wyshynski, who joins us for the first time this year. And Greg, we start with a congratulations on the birth of your son. How you doing?
I'm doing good, man. It's it was two daughters, and now my first son. Figuring out all the nuances there, how the plumbing works, and it's been fun, man. He's a real cute kid, and we couldn't be happier.
That's awesome. Well, congratulations to you and your family on that. But we're excited to have you on and talk some hockey with you each week. Tuesday, I was at the Predators game, but really enjoyed ESPN's coverage with the Frozen Frenzy. This is, I guess, the third year now that you all have done this. And I know there's a lot that goes into it, but it's really, really cool to have the staggered start times for all 32 teams, 16 games total. It's really, really neat to be able to watch it all.
Oh, for sure. I mean, like, the way I compare it is it's sort of like an early season buffet, right? Like, you get a chance to sample a bunch of teams that you might not have gotten a chance to see yet. I mean, we're hockey fans, right? We're obsessed with the teams that we follow. We might not necessarily watch the entirety of the league. So that's a good night to kind of dip in and see what other teams look like and see what they're doing. And again, it's just a really cool time. It's also a shared experience, which is something that we don't always get in hockey. Usually for like international tournaments, but not necessarily in the regular season. So I'm happy people dig it, and I'm happy that we're able to pull it off every year.
We knew that, you know, now that we're on the other side of COVID and things are really clicking for the league, that we were going to see more room in the salary cap. But it seems like a lot of money is being handed out here in the last few days. Natchez has signed an extension. Cooley signed an extension. I think Harley signed an extension with Dallas. I mean, there have been several extensions. Why now? Why are we starting to see all this now?
I mean, everybody's just trying to get ahead of other guys signing. You know, like if you're, you know, the Kings with Adrian Kempe, you're maybe feeling a little bit weird about life right now, seeing what Nature signed for in Colorado. You know, I think what we saw this summer, when it was supposed to be a free agent frenzy and it ended up being kind of everybody keeps their own guys frenzy. If teams with this cap flexibility, they're going to just try to, like, you know, get this stuff done, you know, focus on what's happening during the season and not have any lingering questions about their own players. I will say about the Natchez one, it's interesting. You know, Colorado took a huge gamble by trading Mikko Rantanen, and the gamble was that they could find a guy that could give them maybe like 75% of what Rantanen gave them for maybe, you know, $2 to $3 million less per season. I mean, Natchez in 41 games is 41 points, and now he's costing them roughly, I'd say, $2.2 million less annually than Rantanen would have. So, you know, I think so far it's paid off. Natchez could be a little hot and cold sometimes, but as far as what their plan was, I think it's been pretty effective.
Greg Wyshynski is on the Chase and Big Joe Show. Greg, thanks for coming back, buddy.
Oh, it's my pleasure, man. You know, I'm dutifully avoiding talking about the New York Jets, which I know will come up at some point
right.
in this conversation, but it's always great to talk to you, boys.
Well, you sound a little like Miley Cyrus today, which is really kind of cool for us here in Nashville. So we like that. All right, I got to ask you, give us the 5,000-foot view of the Nashville Predators. Like, we're all inside the bubble here. You're not. Your take on the Nashville Predators at the start of the season so far.
Yeah, you know, I do have a little laryngitis going on, which is amazing to have a head cold when your job is 80% talking on podcasts or radio shows.
Right.
I was looking at the numbers today, and it's kind of a tough gig for them, right? Like, 5-on-5 goals per game is in the 20s, goals against in the 20s, expected goals against all in the bottom third of the league. And, you know, the way that you kind of make up for that usually is through special teams. And, you know, they've got a power play that's clicking at 30% right now. It's no mystery to anyone who's watched this team which players are underperforming and could easily, you know, help juice those numbers a little bit. But right now it's kind of, they're in the mushy middle thanks to UC Soros having the bounce back season that we hoped he'd have. But when the rest of the team can't put the puck in the net on a consistent basis, it's not going to be enough.
You know, Chase, I've talked about this. You know, you can't win the Stanley Cup in October and early November, but you sure as hell can lose it, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, like, not only the Stanley Cup, but the playoffs, right? Like, that's kind of where we are right now with this team. You know, the toughest thing for them right now, I think, is the fact that you've had Utah emerge in the division like they have. Now, all of a sudden, you're looking up at a Utah team that seems ready to go. And then you've got Dallas and Colorado and Winnipeg still there. And so the entry point for the Predators, if they were to make the playoffs, is probably the wild card. And, you know, even then, if you're the second wild card, your prize is to get whacked by Colorado or Vegas, right? So it's just it's setting up pretty poorly no matter what they do as far as contending. But, you know, you're hoping to at least have a more relevant season than they had last year.
Greg, who are you, and I don't know if you could speak freely about this, but we value your opinion. Who are you most disappointed with on this Nashville Predator team?
Well, I mean, there's a guy who has like 500, 600 goals in his career that has 1 in 10 games right now. So, I mean, it's pretty obvious it's Steven Stamkos. I mean, you talk to people around the league, and no one's really sure what the situation is there as far as his lack of production this season, going back to last season and never really finding a fit. You know, is it you know, hitting the wall as a player? Is it a situation where he can recapture the magic if he was on another team somewhere that might be a little bit closer to contention? I mean, these are the questions that you hear about around the league right now about Stammer, but no one seems to have the answer.
Greg Wyshynski is with us now. So, we've talked for a long time over the years. I'm usually the last person that gets to, all right, you got to fire the coach. But I'm looking at this team. Yes, there are some guys like Stamkos that they are maybe past their prime, but they didn't forget how to play hockey and they didn't forget how to score goals. And what I'm seeing right now from Forsberg, from Stamkos, from Marchessault is just the production isn't there. And you got to point to system. You got to point to what's in place. I think Andrew Brunette's a hell of a coach, but is he the right coach for this team? Do you think that some of the guys that are out there, and I guess Pete DeBoer is going to be the top name that's available, but even somebody like Peter Laviolette, you know, could they come in here and get more out of this team, or is it simply just the roster may not be salvageable at this point?
Well, it's funny you should mention this because my podcasting partner Jeff Merrick and I went long on this subject today on his podcast. Because he is of the mind that the decision that might be looming is the return of Barry Trotz behind the bench. Now, I don't know how feasible that is. I will say that if the hesitation in firing Brunette before the season was partially contractual and how much money you were going to owe a guy for not coaching, an easy solution could be, here's a guy you're already paying to do one job and just make him do another job.
Yeah.
Now, that I guarantee you're going to hear some of that speculation from around the league just because of the affinity for Barry and the situation I just laid out. But like you said, I mean, I think before you go and look at a DeBoer or look at a veteran coach, if you decide to fire Brunette, you really have to have a, you know, come to Jesus moment about where the franchise is. You know, are you looking for a veteran to come in and salvage what's already here, or is there not enough here for anyone to salvage? And then you start to think about where Marchessault might end up or Stamkos might end up or, you know, how deep that cut might come if you've decided to kind of shift gears and go in another direction for the team.
Well, the thing is, and like, I don't, you know, when they made all these signings last year on July 1st, I don't feel like that there was anybody going, oh, what are they doing? Like, I think everybody was kind of like, yeah, all right, cool. They overachieved. They made the playoffs after selling off a bunch of assets. And, you know, they're kind of right back in the mix, and now they're going for it. So I think everybody was surprised, both locally and nationally, of how last year turned out. So that's where, you know, I mean, to your point, maybe that is the answer, that, you know, they talk to Barry and say, you built it, you go fix it, and then we'll reevaluate it years in.
I mean, listen, as a New Jersey Devils fan, I used to watch Lou Lamoriello put himself behind the bench once every, like, 4 years to try to clean up the messes that he believed were the problems of other people and not his own. You know, when they made those signings, I saw it as a way to bolster the roster and hold a couple of spaces with veteran guys until the next wave of young Predators were ready to really make their mark. I think there's always been sort of an eye on the future and the next wave of player, along with having those veteran guys. So if you really want to kind of take a philosophical look at it, the fact that it didn't work last year is disappointing, because it did seem like they were building towards something. But their belief in what comes next shouldn't waver. And that, I think, has always been the underlying part of Trotz's plan in signing those guys.
Greg, the Chicago Blackhawks, they're playing decent. Can they keep it up? Can they come back?
Yeah, isn't it annoying that they're going to be, like, relevant again pretty soon? You know, it's funny. I said last year that I thought that Macklin Celebrini and the Sharks were going to probably make the playoffs before Chicago does. And every Blackhawks fan in my life has been throwing that back in my face this year, because they're convinced they're really building something that might get them in the playoffs within the next 2 years. I'm just happy for Bedard, because I think that kid is really talented. And for a while, it looked like he was going to be on an island. Like, he wasn't going to have the Malkin to his Crosby. And, you know, lo and behold comes Frank Nazar, who's been great to watch and providing that team exactly what they needed, which was another pillar to kind of build on when you've already got a really strong foundation with Bedard. So, look, it's a really tough division, and I think that team still has, you know, more holes than a block of Swiss right now. But they definitely have a little bit more forward momentum than I assumed they'd have in saying that the Sharks were probably closer to contention than they were.
All right, Greg, we're only, what, 10, 11 games into the season. What team do you think needs – you're thinking, all right, guys, let's get it together. It could be a long year. A team that was predicted to do really well, but you said, you know, they needed a light of fire under their behinds right now.
That's the Rangers. I mean, like, the Rangers go out and get Mike Sullivan, who everybody considers to be one of the best coaches in the world, from the Penguins. You know, they've reshaped their team around their captain, JT Miller. They have a ton of good veteran players and some really strong young players too, like Will Cooley and Alexei Lafreniere. And none of it's really clicked on a consistent basis yet. They had a nice win in Vancouver on the Frozen Frenzy. They're going to have to put a few more of those together. It may be a situation where they're not deep enough to really contend this year. But overall, I mean, I think there was a lot of hype around that team, and they just haven't met it yet.
Greg, appreciate it. We're excited to have you back, and we'll do this again next week.
You got it, boys. Hot honey tea. I'll work on the pipe. I'll be ready to go next year. Next week, rather.
All right. We look forward to it. Greg Wyshynski, ESPN senior NHL writer, joining us here on the program, and he will do that every Thursday at 2, presented by Old National Bank. Get old. We'll have more coming, including, I saw this from Peter Burns from ESPN about, is it time to reset the market when it comes to paying college football coaches? And could LSU be the ones to do that? We'll discuss that coming up next. Chase and Big Joe, live at the Omni Nashville Hotel at Bar Lines, 102.5 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. We're live at the Omni Nashville Hotel, proud sponsor of our show. We're at Bar Lines hanging out on this Thursday. We'll be here next Wednesday, but appreciate them for having us. And tomorrow we'll be at ML Rose in East Nashville, so looking forward to that. Peter Burns from ESPN put on his Twitter account, would love LSU to completely overhaul the current unhealthy system of college football head coaching salaries. And he came up with a system, because, you know, you think about it right now, like, Jimbo's making like $76 million not to coach. James Franklin's 49. Brian Kelly's like 54, something like that. So this is what Peter Burns proposes. A four-year deal with incentives. You get a $10 million signing bonus on day one. $1 million salary per year. $500,000 per win. $5 million for college football playoff spot. $2 million per playoff win or bye. $3 million per title, and your buyout is $10 million. So he then goes on to say, you go 6-6, you'll make $4 million that year. You go 9-3 with no playoff, $5.5 million. You go 10-2 with a first-round playoff exit, $11 million. 10-2 with a second-round exit, $13 million. And so on and so forth. You could make $20 million going 10-2 and win the title. See who's there for the money or the passion. Puts more salt in the game.
All right, can I comment?
Sure.
Shut up, Peter.
Why?
Capitalism. I get as much money as I want. You don't have to tell me what I get and what I cannot get. If a school wants to pay you $15 million, pay you $15 million. How is LSU paying Brian Kelly affecting your life? How is Jimbo affecting
your
life?
It's not.
Exactly.
And I see your point.
So let them go what they want. These are grown men and women making these decisions.
Right.
Let them make the decisions. Brian Kelly getting a salary is not impacting me at all. It's not. They made the mistake. They're paying the money out, and they go on. What it's hurting are up-and-coming coaches who aren't going to get big contracts because of all this. But I don't know. I mean, this cap. I am all about you getting as much as you want. And if somebody's going to pay you that all day long, do
it. But are you not also about, like, we know that your best friend is coaching because he loves coaching. He loves football.
That's good. But right. He also makes a good salary.
Yeah, sure. But he's not making – you know, Brian Kelly's salary.
All right, let me pause you there. Are you not going to watch LSU-Alabama next weekend because you're mad at Brian Kelly getting a buyout?
No.
Nobody is. You're going to watch it.
But, I mean, I see your point, but I see his point. Like,
well, who do you like better?
Well, Peter, some – no.
That's what it comes down to. No, I understand that, and
yeah,
we're all upset about
it,
that.
Because it has – and I like the phrase unhealthy. It has gotten to that point of – and, yes, you're right. It's capitalism, but I can also make the point when you see, you know, everyday blue-collar, you know, Chases and Joes struggling, you know.
Should have been a coach.
Really, it's the greatest job in the world is a
nobody
fired
feels
football
sorry
coach.
For, I mean, that's the thing is that nobody feels sorry for us. James Franklin is different for us, right?
Sure.
We can't stand him. Can't stand him at all. Cannot stand James Franklin.
Thanks for that burp. Appreciate
it. That's the good chip, the food we got here. Look, nobody can stand with James Franklin. He's walking with all that money. Like, but other than that, I mean, that's the contract he signed. Why are we mad at him? I mean, I can't help it. I mean, these guys are getting paid money. They're going to pay you money. Go get the money. If that's what makes you happy, go get the money. Didn't Greg Maddux turn down – like many, many millions more from the Yankees when he left the Cubs? I think he did. I think the Yankees offered him a lot more money than the Braves did.
Yeah.
He wanted to go win a championship.
Yeah.
He thought he could win it with the Braves. I mean, the Yankees won it, but at the time, win it with the Braves, and he did.
Yeah.
So that's a small case of a guy not taking the money. But when it comes to these coaches, hey, man, it's not affecting my life in the least.
2438, making sure we know. An LSU booster is paying most of Brian Kelly's buyout, not the school. We know that.
Yeah.
We know how this works.
Right.
I mean, it's the school is never the one actually paying the buyout.
Nope. Boosters
it's
and the foundation
big, it's
and all
the big money
stuff.
With deep pockets.
Yeah, right. I mean, you think A&M was hurting when they paid Jimbo? That school's got so much money over there.
They got all the money.
Yeah.
Speaking of big money with deep pockets, Clay has called in. Clay, what's up?
He does.
Boys, I heard my name mentioned, so I just had to call in.
I know. That was my mistake, but we're glad you called in. How you doing?
I'm doing great. So that was that something about this five-star recruit, this quarterback?
Yeah, what do you think? You think he's going to flip?
I have no idea, but, you know, you guys were just talking about coaches' salaries and stuff like that. Pretty interesting. I found out yesterday, I did not know this till yesterday, Jimmy Sexton was Nashville for the game last weekend and everything, and you know, guys are going to – schools are going to come after Clark Lee because of what he's done at Vanderbilt. But, you know, this man, 2 years ago, you know, they had a terrible season. They fell back to 2-10. And look what this guy's done in the last 20 games. I mean, yeah. I don't think anybody else in America, maybe the coach at Indiana, has done a better job than Clark Lee has. This man deserves to be compensated. Vanderbilt needs to keep him. This is probably the best football coach we've ever had. And I just pray to God that Canvas and the administration step up to the plate and keep this guy here for a long time.
I'm with you, Clay. Thanks for the call.
Thanks.
Yeah, and look, I think they're going to try. I mean, and ultimately, I think he stays. The ones I would be worried about, you know, unless he's just offered an ungodly, insane amount of money, in which I would call him and be like, Clark, I love you, man, but I've never seen so many zeros. Like, I would take that. But the one I would be worried about is Notre Dame. Like, if Notre Dame came open, if Marcus Freeman goes somewhere else, then that might be the one, because he coached there. You know, it's obviously a prestigious football school. But other than that, I think he wants to see this through, and he's at least this year in line to do a lot of things that nobody ever dreamed Vanderbilt would do.
I don't think he's going anywhere. I think he'll listen.
Yeah, and he should listen.
I mean, he's built something here, and he gets his team to the playoffs. I mean, it's like Cignetti. We're like, oh, man, he's going to go to Penn State or Notre Dame or somewhere. And then
Matt Rhule. I thought Matt Rhule was.
Indiana says, hey, we're going to keep you. So, good. Yeah. Are we mad at Cignetti for that contract?
No.
Peter Burns?
No.
You mad?
No.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
No, so, two things can be true. Like, you can be happy for someone for, you know, as the kids say, getting the bag of money.
Well, let me ask you this. Do you think Brian Kelly did not want to win at LSU?
No. I think Brian Kelly wanted to win. But here's the thing.
Why was the delay?
Well, because I was trying to think how I wanted to word this.
All right.
Brian Kelly wanted to win, but Brian Kelly could care less if he was winning at LSU or Notre Dame or wherever. He just wants Brian Kelly to look good.
And that is winning.
Yeah. Brian Kelly cares about Brian Kelly.
And about winning.
Sure.
Does he care about winning?
Yes.
All right. And James Franklin? I mean, these guys want to win. They're not just sitting there like, oh, I'll see you at noon today. I mean, that's the thing. They just didn't get the job done, and now they're getting paid for it. And I get all that, but I'm not going to begrudge a guy that, like, you know how I feel about Jimbo Fisher. I'm not going to talk on the radio about this, but, I mean, he's walking away with all that money. Good for Jimbo. I mean, I mean, that's the way it is, and that's how it's happening right now. But there will be changes, I think, coming forward about – how coaches get paid, whether they like it or not.
Coming up next, there's a huge high school football game tonight in the Mount Juliet area. The mayor of Mount Juliet is going to join us coming up next. Chase and Big Joe live at the Omni, 102.5. The game, but first, we're going to give away a pair of tickets to see the Nashville Predators and the Calgary Flames this Saturday at Bridgestone Arena. It is the Golden Hall induction. Pete Weber and Terry Crisp are going to be the next members in the Golden Hall. Of course, Crispy won a Stanley Cup as a coach for the Calgary Flames. So call the first caller right now at 615-737-1025 will win a pair of tickets to see the Preds and the Flames this Saturday at Bridgestone Arena. A 2:30 puck drop and the Golden Hall induction will take place during the first intermission. 615-737-1025. Good luck. We'll have more coming next. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. Everybody's got a price for the Million Dollar Man. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game here on this Thursday at the Omni Nashville Hotel. Well done, Brandon Bigsby. Very good. I'll let you do the honors on our next guest.
Well, big game tonight in Wilson County as Green Hill takes on Mount Juliet, and it's called the Mayor's Cup, and we are honored to have the mayor of Mount Juliet on the Chasing Big Joe show, Mayor James Manis. Mayor, how are you, and thank you for doing this.
I tell you what, I'm doing great, and I don't know anybody in Mount Juliet who's not excited about the game tonight.
Well, they should be. How's our good friend Justin Beasley doing, who arranged all this? How is he?
Oh, he's doing great. We were just over at Mount Juliet High School for their pep rally, and we're about to go in here to Green Hill High School for their pep rally. So Justin's working hard today.
Is somebody asking, why is that little sixth grader not in school today when they look at Justin?
Oh, no, that, everybody knows who Justin is around here.
Well done, Mr. Mayor. So this game tonight, Green Hill Mount Juliet, it's in the short, I think, started in 21. It's now turned into this huge rivalry game, which I think is beautiful. What's it like observing this, watching this game grow between these two schools?
Yeah, I mean, it's been great. And then as far as Green Hill being a newer school, it's really an opportunity for them to build some traditions. And it's really kind of overtaken both these schools as their primary rival game. We asked them at the press conference on Tuesday, I said, is this bigger than the rivalry? Speaking, you know, primarily to Mount Juliet, is this bigger than your rivalry with Lebanon? And they're like, no, this is the game here. The Mayor's Cup is the game that we have circled on the calendar.
Well, exactly. Mayor Manis from Mount Juliet's with us. Why did you decide to get involved and call this the Mayor's Cup?
Well, you know, this all kind of got started. And to be honest, I was looking at the football schedules out there, and they was, and I don't remember which one of the websites had it listed as the Mayor's Cup. So I contact the city manager, and, you know, we're too, I guess, dumb at the time to realize that that's a common term for in city rivalries. But I contact the city manager, like, I don't have a cup. Am I supposed to have a cup? So, you know what? We took it from that and made it a reality.
Mayor Manis is with us. How much do you expect this rivalry to grow as more time goes by, as these kids, you know, now go through the elementary school, middle school system, knowing probably where they're either going to end up at Mount Juliet or Green Hill, and how that pride is going to grow with them? How do you see that expanding?
Oh, you know, these kids grow up playing youth football together. They know each other well on both sides, and it's just going to continue to grow. You know, like myself, you know, our Green Hill here has a, you know, it's been around, been open for about 5 or 6 years now. But I've got two daughters that are graduating from here, and you've got countless numbers of people here in Mount Juliet that are alumni themselves of Mount Juliet High School. And it's just really a pride point for everybody involved in this. And it's big bragging rights. It's going to do nothing but grow, especially as we get more and more alumni coming out of Green Hill.
Are you happy how this has turned out? I know you had the party on Tuesday night with the teams showing up and everything, the big pep rallies today. I just think this has turned into something really special for not just Wilson County, Mr. Mayor, but for high school football and these kids in the community.
You know, this just started out as me not wanting to be the mayor who didn't show up with the cup he didn't have, to what it's become today. And, I mean, it's exciting. This is going to continue to grow in the future. And, I mean, the schools are fully involved in this thing, and the community embraces it. It's a big deal for us here in Mount Juliet. You know, I hear some say this is their Super Bowl, and it's got that kind of feel.
Oh, absolutely it does. Now, what game activities are you doing, like the coin toss? What is your job tonight, Mr. Mayor?
Oh, my job's pretty easy tonight. I'm named as one of the honorary captains, so I'll be joining them out on the field. We'll be doing some talking. I'm going to spend some time, you know, with each of the student sections tonight, and I'm gonna try to get out of there without any injuries. You know, they're a little younger than I am, got a little bit more energy.
Are you also able to give one overweight radio host out of a speeding ticket?
It's got a form of government here, so I don't know. I get to stay outside of the day-to-day activities, primarily the legislator.
Oh, that's the greatest answer. Mr. Mayor, it's an honor to have you on. Thank you for this. I hope it's a big crowd. Chase and I love high school football. We love that you're involved in this. We love how this game has turned out tonight between Green Hill and Mount Juliet. And we love you took time to be with us today, Mr. Mayor. So have a great night, and thank you for everything.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me on, and it's going to be an exciting night here in Mount Juliet.
Indeed. Mayor James Manis, Mount Juliet tonight as Green Hill takes on Mount Juliet. He's right. It's evolved into a huge rivalry. Game, you know, it's one of those, throw out the record books. I get all that. But it's true in this case. These teams both want to win.
Well, and what's cool is our good friend Ryan Porath, before he moved to Chicago, was living in Mount Juliet right across from Green Hill High School right as it was opening.
Yeah.
And I passed by it one day, and I was like, is this a college?
Right.
I mean, it is
right.
A beautiful campus, and obviously Mount Juliet as well. And that, I mean, you talk about Nashville growing, that area – in Mount Juliet,
huge.
There in Wilson County, has just exploded in the last 20 years.
It is, and it's tough for me because Green Hill coach Josh Crouch Mount Juliet coach Trey Perry are just dear friends of mine. So I don't pick this game, and I just want to have fun and a good time and see what happens. But I like it when a city comes. That's what high school football is about. That's when the city comes together, everybody comes together. It'll be packed at Mount Juliet tonight for the game. Bart Barker, you better got me my pass. If not, I will go on social media and tell people how you didn't give me a pass tonight. So
just blame we'll Beasley. That.
I blame him for other things.
That's true.
Justin Beasley. So I'll just let him he'll take a break on this one.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we give him a hard enough time. So.
Yes, we do. He's a good guy. I know. I got to return his booster seat.
Yeah, he let me borrow some tape, so I appreciate that. But anyway, we got some good high school football games coming up tonight and tomorrow. Kevin in Florida, I think, wanted to weigh in on our football or college football coaches conversation. Kevin, what's up?
Hey, can you hear me?
Yeah, we got you.
Hey, I'm sorry. I wasn't calling about the college coach thing, but I think Joe's right. You know, if they want to pay him, they pay him. But my question was, and I'll hang up, Blue Jays or Dodgers? Y'all have a great day.
All right. Thanks, Kevin. There's not a game tonight. It will be tomorrow. You can hear that on 102.5 The Game starting at 6 o'clock. I want this to go 7, but I think the Blue Jays might end it tomorrow.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It comes down to one thing, America or Canada.
Yeah.
Give me the Dodgers.
Okay.
That's it. Even though most of Toronto's –
I hate the Dodgers. Like, seriously, dude. Like, I mean, this is where my fandom really, really – takes it's a hard time. I cannot stand the Dodgers.
Okay. I can't wait till Jim Wyatt pounds your face at Titans on Sunday.
Jim and I've talked about this. He knows he's a Braves fan. I mean, it just, you know.
Okay.
That's how it is.
All right, I got it.
You got it?
I mean, I understand what you're saying.
Okay. I was like, what do you have?
Not much.
Coming up next, we'll tell you what day it is and celebrity birthdays. It's Chase and Big Joe on this Thursday at the Omni.
Lord!
102.5 The Game.